Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I'm sandwiched between two doctors. Got Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, it's what you call a doctor sandwich.
Yes, it is. And Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi, folks.
Hey, I want to start off because tell you about a phone call I made yesterday. You know, we make a lot of calls thanking people. And somebody sent in a little bit of a testimony. And in it, they said they were going to be renewing their wedding vows. And they gave the date, September 24th. And this was a few days later, so I thought, how new? This was 40 years ago. So I thought I'd call them and say, hey, congratulations. And I did that, and they said, yeah, I can't believe you're calling me right now. We had a beautiful ceremony with our four kids and daughter-in-law, and it was wonderful. And we went up in the attic and pulled out our original vows, and just a few minutes ago, we finished reading those to one another.
Aww,
and so they said, I can't imagine the timing. And so, well, it's a God thing. But let me read you part of his story. And he's a recovering alcoholic and sex addict. He says he'll be forever grateful to New Life Ministries. I'm one of those lives that's been forever changed through the ministry and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then his wife called in the program a while back. And I don't know who she talked to, but they said, get him to EMB, you go to Restore and see a counselor. And they did all that. He said, I hopped on a plane from Southern California to Washington, D.C., where I attended Every Man's Battle, which was absolutely life-changing for me. It's where I completely surrendered my life to Jesus and began living the truth in the truth of my brokenness, multiple addictions, and compulsions. A week later, my wife attended Restore in Dallas. We will be renewed. Oh, God has been doing one miracle after another in our recovery, and healing a new life was the catalyst for changing the trajectory of our lives. You know, it's so, in this program, you deal with the tough stuff. You're talking to people in the middle of it. And I get the blessing of calling people when they're on the other side a little bit and have been blessed, and they can share that with us. And I wanted to share that with everybody, partly because it's cool, but partly because Every Man's Battle is coming up this Saturday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's live in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you haven't gone, guys, and you know you need it, think about this man. He was an alcoholic and sex addict for years, and he listened to the counsel that was given to him. And he hopped on a plane and went all the way across the country to attend a workshop. And he said it was life-changing, completely surrendered his life to Jesus. It's the beginning of a total trajectory change in his life.
Yeah.
And she went to Restore.
We have heard over and over again from folks with similar stories that their marriage is better than it ever was after going through the valley of the shadow of death. And whether or not the problems in your marriage are at that level of significance, we all have brokenness in our marriages. So I want to plug intimacy in marriage too, because as a group leader at that weekend, it has transformed and safeguarded my marriage. We all could use help and fine-tuning with our marriage. And some of us need a complete overhaul, but we can offer all of that at the various weekends that we have for you folks.
Seeing the life change is why we ask you to support, because you can help others experience that if you make a gift to New Life. So please consider that. And I want to remind you, we're going to be here 2 hours today. So this hour and next, we'll record another program. 800-229-3000 is the number if you want to be on. Sherry and Alice are going to solve any problem you have today right here on this program.
Or at least invite Jesus into solving it with you, right?
I'm trying to guarantee what I can. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back. And we're going to go right to the phone calls. And we're going to talk to George in Chicago. And he listens or watches on the NRB network. Hello, George. How can we help you?
Hi, Doctor. Yes, I have a question.
Okay, ask away.
Yes, my nephew Diane was diagnosed with speech impediment when he was 15. He's 17 now. But I think he has agoraphobia or ADD or dyslexia.
Tell us a little more. What makes you think that, and what does his behavior say to you?
You want to know what? Because when he was 1.5 years old, he was started by a tray horn, and after that, he slept for 18 hours, and his behavior is that he just wants to stay inside. He doesn't want to too much to leave the house. He just wants to play Nintendo.
And where are his mom and dad? Like, how he's your nephew, so you're related? You're the uncle?
Yeah.
So where is his mom and dad?
Staying with him in his house.
Okay. Are they concerned about what you're observing?
No, because I kept on telling him that he had a speech impediment for 2 years until finally they diagnosed him in the school. So she had no choice but to accept that illness.
Yeah, so it sounds like you, as the uncle, love this young man. He's 17. You love your nephew. And something inside you feels like his mom and dad aren't really taking the bull by the horns. They're minimizing, or maybe they're allowing him to just spend hours on his Nintendo in the room, and you're here as the caring uncle trying to figure it out. Like, what is going on here? Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Is it your sister or your brother?
Yes. Sister.
It's your sister. Well, first off, thank you for being a loving uncle. Your nephew is really, really blessed to have you caring for him.
Yes, but the problem is they weren't there when he had the start in the faith of fear and the trauma he had when that happened in Mexico, when he was with me for 3 months. Me and my mother are the only ones that knew this, but they weren't there.
So it sounds like you're feeling responsible at some level. Because you had your nephew, and when the train horn sound, you remember seeing his face.
Yes.
Okay.
Since I got him sick, now I'm trying to heal him.
Mm. Oh, sweet man. You know what? Man, I love your heart. But you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing you have been impacted by trauma too. And somehow you have, in your own brain, in your own mind, made yourself responsible for this young man's issues. Like, you're still carrying the burden of that. You feel like it's your fault. Like, somehow you should have protected him from the train horn. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
But it was when this happened, it was a good thing that this happened, because at the same time I was diagnosed with schizophrenia, but I wasn't saved. What happened was a gypsy fortune teller put thoughts in my head, and a lady had to take away those thoughts in 2013, and when this happened, it was in 2005. And if it wasn't for the incident, I would never got released from those thoughts. So a good thing happened from this.
So you had a healing because you got the truth back in your heart, right? And guess what? Yeah. I'm hoping we can give you that healing today. We're not gypsies. We're not fortune tellers. We are Jesus followers. But you know what we believe in is the truth. Because when your nephew heard that train blow and you saw his face, the negative belief that got wired in at that trauma event is, I did something wrong. I should have known better. But the truth is, you did the best you could. There was a lot of other people around when that train blowed. And to be very honest with you, I think your nephew has a complex array of issues. I don't believe that this train horn is the cause of all things. I think he's got some challenges with his brain. I think he feels disconnected from the world, from friends. And I think he's finding some kind of numbing out some of his anxiety in life by playing Nintendo. But I think that the truth is you did the best you could when you had him for that little period of time. And there's other things that have caused these issues. It's not your fault. Alice, can you speak to the Nintendo? I know you've got New Life is going to be featuring you and speaking to parents about the impact of all this. Could you speak a little bit to that?
George, I sure will share my thoughts about that. But I'm going to start with a detail that you mentioned, that your nephew was separated from his parents for a period of time. And George, I have worked with many immigrant families who have come to the United States, and there was a period of separation. And whether it was a week or months or a year, there are wounds of abandonment and disconnection in families that are so difficult, if not seemingly impossible, to repair. And George, you were there filling in the gap for his parents. I'm going to go as far as saying you were a hero for your nephew. And you're the kind of man that realizes you were an imperfect caregiver. And there were things you couldn't protect your nephew from. And that guilt that you carry, it does need to be addressed. And so if you were to go to your sister and her husband and your nephew and let them know, I feel so much regret that I wasn't a better caregiver. And I want to ask for forgiveness and acknowledge that with you. That will bring healing to that family. Because I think that you might have more awareness and humility about all of this, perhaps, than your sister does. And she would benefit from some modeling from you. And what your nephew would really benefit from as well is more time with you, George, if he's willing to. So that's where I come to the video game. Because many of our children today, they feel uncomfortable in face-to-face conversations, and they find safety in the world, the online world of gaming, and they feel protected there, they feel connected there, and they feel known in that world. And what we adults can do is enter into that world with them, sit down and play video games with them, and find out what they like about it and who they're connecting with online. And if we can do that, George, with gentle curiosity and a gentle persistence, we invest in relationship, and healing comes from relationship. Your nephew is blessed to have you as an uncle. What are you thinking about what I'm sharing with you, George?
It's good. There was about abandonment or what else?
Disconnection. And when parents reunite with a child after there's been that long period of separation, most of us parents are very ill-equipped to bridge the gap and to repair the damage, especially because they probably came for a better life for their son, and they sacrificed for their son. And so for parents to understand that sacrifice was also wounding to the relationship, that's a tough pill to swallow, George.
Does your nephew live near you?
No, he lives an hour away from me. but he went to school here in my neighborhood. My sister and I bought her address that he would stay with me, so she would go to the charter school. He didn't go to public school because he won the lottery for the charter school. Hmm. And basically, I was taking care of him from when he was like around 7 all the way to 15, feeding him and buying him food.
So it's kind of like your own son. You've loved him.
Yes, I know more about Daniel than their own parents do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know what he likes and don't like.
So, George, because you're not his parents, even though you have been a father to him, your power over him now is probably limited as he's living with his parents again. But, George, staying in your own recovery and continuing the healing process for yourself and your own diagnosis that you humbly admitted to us, that is also modeling that your nephew needs from you. You're a good man and a good uncle.
Dana needs what?
He needs to see the modeling, George, of you continuing to pursue your own mental health and spiritual health, and sharing your struggles and that journey with him will be good for your nephew and your sister and her husband.
Is there a book that comes to mind?
How We Love Our Kids, I think, would be a good one for him, because he's your nephew and you've loved him like a son, and just all that attachment is so important. Can you see him? Could you plan, a couple times a month to go out and hang with him, sit down and do what Alice said, maybe play Nintendo? Is that something you could commit to?
Yes.
That would be awesome. That I think we think it'd be so healing for both of you.
Okay. Well, George, I want to thank you for the call. We'll be praying for you and for your nephew, and that things improve for both you and for him.
You helped me a lot. I got a lot of information by this talk.
So glad. So grateful. Your heart sounds lighter, my friend.
God bless you, George. Yes. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, people don't realize so much about their lives and their impact on others. And that just for you to say, you have your own trauma and you have your own issues when somebody is thinking only about that other person is very impactful.
Yeah. He's kind of carrying a burden about something that his mind, his thoughts have gone back and said, well, that's what happened, right? The train blow, and I couldn't protect him from that. But that's a trauma event in his mind that he needs healing from, as you addressed with him. And I love what you brought up, Alice, in your work with immigrant families.
Yeah.
You have such knowledge to understand the complexities and the hardships and the losses that so many families feel in that situation. And so thank you for bringing that insight.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Nina. We'll probably get her question before we go to a break. So Nina is in Long Beach, listens on KKLA. Hey, Nina, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I am in desperate need of how to set boundaries to not get further involved in situations where I feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
Could you give us an example of how you feel vulnerable to that?
Yeah. Yes, a most recent situation has to do with my neighbor, who I love. I just absolutely love her and her husband and her children. And she's fairly new to the neighborhood. My husband and I have lived in our home for about 25 years, and she's recently moved in, maybe I'd say five years ago. And so we have gone over to her house for the holidays and spent time there with the family. And my son, who's 25, goes over and visits fairly often and talks to the younger daughter as an older brother would. And so what happened some time ago was that our garages meet up to each other. Our two garages are right next to each other, and there was a green patch in the middle that's technically on her side. and it was a little unsightly with dead grass. And so I asked her her permission if I could redo it.
Hey, Nina. Hold that thought. We have to go to a break right now, but we'll be back and finish your story. Thanks.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Nina. And Nina has a boundary question, and she's telling us a story about her neighbors and the garages are abut to one another, and there's a patch of lawn, and that's as far as we got. So, Nina, keep going.
Yeah, sure. And so I asked my neighbor's permission to re-landscape just that small area, and she said it was fine. So I cleaned it up. My husband and I worked on that area and cleaned it up, and we laid down gravel and planted California native plants, and it's beautiful. And she was happy with it. And so she asked if what she owed me, and I said nothing. It's a gift to me because I have to look at it also. So I appreciated the fact that she just let me landscape that one little area. But then soon after that, she asked my advice on some other areas in her backyard. She had a rose area, a flower bed with roses, and I gave her some ideas on what to do here, and we were discussing it, and I said, I can clean it up for you. It's one of my hobbies that I like to work out in the yard, and I do very intense landscaping where I'm shoveling gravel and things like that, so I'm used to it. And she was appreciative, and so everything went well. And then there came a point where one of my coworkers passed away. I've never met him. My coworkers live in other states. I work from home, but I didn't realize how I was going to be impacted by that, because one day I was speaking to my coworker, and then a couple of weeks later he had passed away. And I felt like, you know, I just needed to step away for a couple of days from work. And so I took a couple of days off. And during those days, I asked my neighbor if it was okay if I go to her backyard and clean up that area that we were discussing. And she said, sure, let me know the cost involved. I said, it's a gift to you.
Nina, when you give and give and give to people, what do you start to feel after you have given too much for your heart, your time, your resources?
I want to stop at a certain point, but then what happens is that it evolves where now I feel like there's an expectation on her part, even though I clearly tell her I don't have enough time anymore. There's things within my own home that I've neglected, and I need to refocus, and then my work gets
And when
gets
you tell
involved,
her, when and, you tell her I don't
and I
have
start
enough
to feel resentment.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yes, of course. That's exactly what happens when we overgive. And when you tell her I don't have time anymore, what happens?
She acts like she doesn't hear me. I send her a text message, and I just recently, this past weekend, she had another area that she wanted redone. And I gave her some ideas, and then she calls me when I have this community closet. So I was out in my driveway a couple of weeks ago.
Let's talk boundaries for a second. Guess when you didn't have boundaries for yourself? When you gave her some ideas. It's kind of like putting milk out for a cat, you know, kind of like a hungry cat in the neighborhood. And, you know, you see the cat, and the first day you put milk out and it comes and laps it up, and you kind of go, oh, well, I'm glad he looked hungry. And then the next day, you know, you kind of look around, you know, and then you see the cat and you put out milk that day. And then you start to feel like, well, I really didn't want a cat. I just wanted to make sure to put something out there for them.
Then the cat scratching on your screen.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And so that resentment comes when that cat scratches on your screen. Giving her ideas is putting milk out for the cat. What about you has a hard time not giving her ideas when she's coming to you? What happens in you when she brings up that other plot that needs to be done? What do you feel inside? And what would you feel inside if you heard Alice or my voice say, don't put the milk out. You can't give her ideas. What comes up in you?
You know, that's a good question. I've tried to ask myself that. And the question is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel obligated. Like, mm-hmm. I have this to-do list. If somebody presents something to me, it automatically becomes a to-do list that I need to check off in my head.
So let's talk about growing up for a second.
Yes.
Okay. Now tell me what you meant by yes, yes.
You know, Nina, you know.
Because this is not new.
I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. My father was an alcoholic. My father died in a car accident when he was drunk driving when I was 8 years old.
Oh, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. And at that point, the 8-year-old little girl was not only grieving her dad, but all of a sudden felt like she had to step up to the plate. She had to start helping around the house. She had to start doing things. It's growing up when you've been at the service of others because of a tragedy. But dear one, what you didn't learn in that home, in the craziness and the alcoholism and the loss, is that it's okay to say no. And actually, no is a complete sentence. No.
Nina, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and finish up.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking to Nina about some boundary things, and we just really got to the meat of the matter about her younger life and some of the pain and trauma she went through. Sure.
Yeah, I think so many of us, and you know, Nina, I got to be honest, I am pleaser / codependent in recovery for the very same reason. Grew up with a lot of chaos, and part of how I was needed or felt loved or found my place in my family was to take care of people or issues or stuff. And it's weird. I grew up and went to Brownies and Girl Scouts, and you know, you get these badges. It was almost like I got these emotional badges for doing things that were helpful. But that skill that I had in my family that helped me survive, basically, it's not good. It's not functioning well as an adult. Because on the other side of feeling used is partnership. Mm-hmm. Like boundaries and pleasing, or lack of boundaries, pleasing, fixing, feeling obligated, that is, we're trying to manage somebody else's issue in order to reduce our anxiety about not doing that issue. So we have to deal with our anxiety, but then realizing that your neighbor is your partner. She's not only a neighbor, she's a partner. And when she asks you to do another part of her yard, a partnership is, okay, you do your part and I'll do mine. Let's work together. Well, what's her part with her yard? What's her part with her yard that needs care?
Mm-hmm.
What's her part? Can you think about what her part is in her yard having issues?
Her part, it would be to do her own landscaping.
Well, hallelujah, of course! I just heard the angels sing, girl. That's it. Okay.
And it means Nina's going to have to be a little uncomfortable at first because she's so used to stepping in.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So a way to handle the discomfort that you will feel because she will come to you again is to...
She will.
Yes. So I want you to address it proactively before she comes to you the next time. And you can do that by going over to say, and I want to confess something. I have overstretched myself in life. And I realize I got to step back a little bit. And one of the areas I need to step back in is giving advice about yards or doing the yard work. I was glad to do it before. I don't have the energy, the time, the resources to do it anymore. So I don't have the headspace to talk about yards for now. And if you proactively plant that seed with her, she may or may not take it, but it will strengthen you to be able to hold to it the next time. And then I want you to tell your husband, this is what I'm going to say to her. I'm really scared to say it. That feels mean. I want you to help hold me accountable to say it. And then when she asks me again the next time, to stick to it.
Nina, do you have the book Boundaries?
If I've read it, I don't remember.
Well, we're going to send it to you.
It may have been about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We'll send you the new updated version for Nina.
It actually addresses yards. It's the basis of the example for boundaries because your problem is so it's a classic problem. And then, of course, it extends to all other areas of our life, too.
And let me say this. As a pleaser in recovery, something that I've done is I love exactly, Alice gave you the words to say, and what I'll use is this word, which I use it a lot. I say, unfortunately, I'm not able to do that, right? It's softer than no, and I have to have something that's a little softer, but unfortunately, I'm not able to do that, and say exactly what Alice said. She gave you the script. But then, one more thing, I did find a couple people in our area that do landscaping. And
bingo.
Here's their phone numbers. I thought you might want to interview them. I don't know them, but, you know, they look like they do yards and landscaping. Mm. And so give her the phone numbers, and girl, you're done. And then stop putting milk out. Stop giving her ideas.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you for your call. Really appreciate that. Great advice from you, too.
Yeah.
I want to remind folks, when you make a gift in October, we're going to say thanks by sending the book Understanding and Loving Your Child Who Smokes Pot. Besides helping you parents, it's a good book for maybe a youth leader at your church or a coach or somebody that might want to read this book and get up on the things to be able to help the students and the people they have influence under. But we need your help. We always appreciate your help. So please consider making a gift. We are going to go and talk to Marie in Austin, Texas, listens on KBBW. Hello, Marie. How can we help you?
Hi. Great. Thank you so much for taking my call. I do have a question regarding counseling for a young 7-year-old boy, my grandson, and I don't think it's going to just need to be an ordinary counselor. And so I was wondering if you guys had any recommendations over in this area.
What are your concerns about your grandson?
Well, he's had a lot of I would say slight abandonment. My daughter is alcoholic and is not in the home with them. He has an older brother, and then there's been, you know, moves. But mainly, we had we was around them this weekend, and he came over very excited and animated, and just he has this very awesome, outgoing, funny personality. He loves to entertain everybody. And then as the day went on, it was a pretty abrupt change, and I can understand the change because we were having a birthday party for his older brother. I understand the change. He kind of was the odd man out when it came to activities because he is the youngest of everybody and didn't want to play the cards, didn't want to play the different games. He wanted to run the really loud microphone. And basically the concern is how he responded to that. It was very scary. He just stopped in his tracks and gave the most strange look, stone cold strange look at us, and glared at us and just put his hand up like, you know, don't talk to me. And then he even put himself in a corner for some reason, and it was just bizarre. We just need to see him get into some counseling, and I just don't think the school counselor is going to quite be enough for where he is.
And is he seeing the school counselor now?
Well, no, he had at one point. So there's been a separation in the family with the mother for at least a year, but even when she was there being alcoholic, she was not involved. So he was seeing some counseling about maybe 2.5 or 3 years ago. He was very small. Now he's 7. I think he was about 4. Well, I know he had to have been 5 to have been in kindergarten. So yeah, it was 2 years ago. And then his brother was seeing counseling too, just because of all the changes that were going on in their life.
Marie, tell us, how receptive is your son-in-law to your opinion, and what's your relationship like with him?
I have a great relationship. He does not really want help. So, because my daughter had, you know, a pretty good income then, but with alcoholism, she's just lost her jobs and keeps losing jobs. But my husband did call him on Sunday to let him know what had occurred, and then there were other family members here at the party that saw his behavior, and we were all quite taken aback and just stunned by the look on his face. It looked pretty deep, pretty deep in.
He has a lot to be angry about.
Yes, he does. He really does.
Oh, what do you feel? Linger there. What do you feel as I say that? I hear your tears.
Well, just because I kept him for a few years when he was, you know, newborn, and I just feel so pain for him because I know what a happy, outgoing child he really is deep in his heart. And he's just so angry. I picked him up from school yesterday, and he had had an outburst toward the end of the class, and all I knew to do was just, how did that make you feel? You know, I just am not trained for that kind of a thing. And he said he was sad and he was mad when I asked him how he felt, and then we went and got
a little treat. Marie, your question worked. It worked. It drew out his heart. So we're coming to a break, but I want you to know you have a good, powerful position in his life, and we'll help equip you to care for him even more.
We'll be back right after this, Marie.
All right, thanks.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back, and we're talking with Marie, and her 7-year-old grandson is having some challenges, and it's very bothersome to Marie. But
Marie, do you notice that you feel panic a great deal of the time?
No, actually, I'm quite the opposite, but I will say that I have felt that way in the last couple of years with my daughter. We've been through 4 detoxes, and then especially now with my grandchildren, that, you know, the 2 children that she has that is living with their father.
Sister, I think that anxiety is so present in your life that it's normal to you to feel anxious. Now, I could be wrong, because I hear you saying that I'm wrong, but I hear it in your voice. Uh-huh. And I'm going to admit to you, when you described what your grandson did, that look on his face, I thought, that actually sounds pretty normal for any kid that age. Now, I'm sure there are more extreme examples that are, of course, concerning to you, but I think that you have had to be hyper alert because of what you went through with your daughter. And so I think you are on hyper alert because you love your grandchildren and you have mothered your grandson as well. And so I want you to consider, even if I'm wrong, I want you to consider that anxiety might be a norm and that you may slip into panic frequently. And then I think your son-in-law reacts to that and backpedals when he hears your anxiety and your panic about his son. Go ahead and react again. Mm-hmm. You can tell me where I'm wrong about it, but do you see any sliver of truth in that?
Well, yes, I do. On my part about the anxiety, it is true. I'm very calm. My husband says I'm probably one of the more level people that he's known. But in the last year and a half or so, it is true. I do feel the anxiety coming on. But my husband, on the other hand, he is very reasonable-minded. Like, that situation actually came up between him and the grandson. And it was my husband that decided to call the son-in-law about the behavior. He was throwing things, it's not that activity that bothered us. It was that very bad, dark look that he gave for a long period of time, glaring at my husband. And my husband stayed very calm. He didn't get on to him for anything. My husband back down and let him have his space. And then so when my husband did call the father, he said that they had actually seen that behavior in him when he was 2, and it kind of was alarming to them. And then my daughter actually was here when the grandson did that here this weekend, Saturday, and she had related to me that 2 times that he had been in her presence visiting her, he threatened to take his life, that he was going to jump off the stairs. Another time she walked in and he had a bladed knife.
You have such reason to feel anxious and concerned for your grandson, and those are important details for us to know. And he has been through trauma, despite the stable presence of you and your husband, because I think you handle him very well. And I know that he needs therapy for the trauma that he has been through, and the anger relates to that trauma.
Anytime I see a child like this, it is a serious, serious cry for help. And it's that look that actually stops our clock, right? Because think about it. How much nurture has he really grown up with day to day? How much?
That's right. He's missing that.
He's missing that. And so I could see in a child's face rage, not anger.
Yes.
Anger is if you're sad and then you're angry, and tomorrow you're sad and angry, and then the next day you're sad and angry, and then a month from then you're sad and angry. You get to a point where you become enraged. And I could almost get into his shoes for a second and think about looking at your husband. And like if he had words for his soul, it'd be like, you can't help me. You don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
That's hurt. Like that look of rage. You can't help me. You don't even care. And then let me explain why he went to the corner. You know what that was about? Shame.
I guess he was disciplining himself.
No, okay. No, that's shame. It's okay. Shame.
Okay.
Because he has no power in his home to get nurture. And that look, that anger, guess what it got? Attention. Negative attention.
Right. Yeah.
But at least it got attention. Kids, when they pull out a knife and when they want to jump off the stairs and kill themselves, girl, he needs counseling and treatment. But he mm-hmm. also is missing nurture. He's got so much hurt in his heart. He's missing the mm-hmm. soft part of love. And
right.
you did a great job of asking him for that.
When you say counseling, does the dad need to go with him to counseling to do it together?
I would say yes. I would say in this situation, I'd have him go to counseling. I would have ask his dad if he'd be open. He can listen to this show if he wants, right?
Mm, that's good.
But it would be his dad would go with him. As grandparents, I would go with him to some sessions because I would mm-hmm. be working really hard to help you guys learn how to give him nurture and connection that he's looking for. He's starving.
And I want you mm-hmm. to lead with the violent behavior and the suicidal statements rather than leading with the angry look. So I want to retract some of what I said, Marie, because I think I was wrong. I don't think you're overly anxious about this boy. But the presentation of the problem, both to a therapist and to the boy's father, it needs to go with what is most concerning and most dangerous. And so if you and your husband have not yet communicated what your daughter shared to the boy's father, he needs to know about that so that he can have the right level of concern and urgency to protect his son's life. When people make suicidal threats and are violent and aggressive, we need to act quickly to protect them and get them the okay. high level of help that they need.
I have a girlfriend of mine. I'm not going to share any identifying information, but they have a son who is around your grandson's age, and I just helped her find a therapist in her area that does EMDR. It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing with children. It's actually a form of trauma treatment. And they hadn't had him in therapy for a while until it escalated. But they had a situation similar. They had to hide the knives, like put them up, and then they had to. But there was a shame reaction as well, like where he went under his bed, and it's kind of an embarrassment that they can see inside themselves that they've lost control, but they don't know how to get the help they need.
Marie, thank you so much for calling. If you'll hang on, our call screener can transfer you to somebody to help you find a counselor there in Austin area.
How We Love Our Kids might be a good book.
Okay. And I just want to say thank you. And I want to thank everybody for listening. We're going to be here another hour, so stay tuned. 800-229-3000. And if you're holding, we'll get you the next hour. There's a couple calls up there. We're going to get to you. And we've got Every Man's Battle this weekend. And then we have Intimacy in Marriage October 15th, and we've got Restore Workshop in November. So we've got a lot going on. We love you. We appreciate your help, your support, and that you're listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.